Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Step Study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, and today is Wednesday, October 30th, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 64 in the chapter How It Works. Reading and commenting on the third paragraph, which begins with resentment is the number one offender. Today's readers are Miriam Rivka H., Tammy L., Leslie W., Alice G., and Penny L.C. We also have a newcomer greeter, Nan K., and Leslie W. has some announcements after the recording ends at the end of the meeting. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Standard Time, for yesterday, Tuesday, October 29th, is 13587. And I'm so sorry, I need to quickly look up what the number is for today, because I didn't jot it down. Here it is. This morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, share ID number is 13593. That's 13593. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So I will now ask Miriam Rivka H. to please read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute, please, Miriam.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Miriam Rivka H., recovering compulsive eater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very, very much, Miriam Rivka. I will now ask Tammy L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. My name is Tammy L., compulsive overeater in Maryland. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Tammy L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order that we have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book and the chapter How It Works. We're on page 64, paragraph 3, beginning with resentment is the number one offender. And I will now ask Leslie W. to please begin reading.
Hey, thanks, Elaine. This is Leslie Dunn. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Okay, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, or principles with whom we were angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, it was found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, and our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. So we were sore and we were burned up. I'm looking at this sentence. It says, when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. This is why a diet never works for me. As a compulsive overeater, this is why a diet will not work. I cannot simply just treat the physical part of my disease. I cannot just treat the physical ailment. Because really, the food is just a symptom of what's really wrong with us. What's really wrong with me is that I'm spiritually sick. So in order for me to straighten out physically, in order for me to straighten out mentally, I have to work these steps. For me, there's no diet. There's no therapy session. There's no self-help book. There's no trainer. There's no pill that's going to get me well. And so resentments are fatal. They are my number one offender. And they will eat at me until I eat at them. And if I don't get rid of it, that's exactly what I'll do. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But that day is coming. If I am harboring resentment towards another. So no matter what the circumstance is for me, I don't care if I'm sick. I don't care if, you know, my kids are in the back seat, talking at me, my husband, I don't care what circumstance it is for me 2 weeks ago pushing a stroller at Disney World. If I'm resentful, I've got to take care of that as soon as possible. I cannot afford it. It will make me sick. It will make me sick and I will die. I will eat again, and to eat is to die. And it's that simple, really. The only way for me to get rid of it is to do the work. If I mess around and think that it's just not a big deal, or if I set it aside and push it aside and push it down, then it's going to come out sideways at somebody. And that's just been my experience. And so thanks for letting me share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Leslie W. What a great start for our meeting and reading for today. So who would like to comment on just the third paragraph on page 64?
Lisa G.
L. I heard Lisa G. Roz. Somebody L. Kara. Kara L.
Bruce E.
John
K. And
Penny L.
I heard Penny L. C. And I'm sorry I didn't get the rest of you, but we're going to have another lineup after Liz G. Roz. I forgot the initial of your last name. Kara L. Bruce K. John K. And Penny L. C. So Liz G., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Roz.
Thanks, Elaine. This is Lisa G. from Texas, recovering in Texas. Resentment is the number one offender. You know, I didn't even realize how much resentment I had towards the people in my life that had died and left me. And I was hating them for leaving me, but I had no idea I was, because what I did was I turned it around inside myself and hated myself instead. And I remember when I was much younger, my mother used to tell me, depression is anger turned inward. And, you know, I couldn't be mad at them because they were sick and they died. It wasn't their fault. They didn't want to die. So to unravel all that stuff, and this is what we're doing when we're working the fourth step and really just the whole program. I mean, we are unraveling what is really going on with ourselves and why we are so, like for me, depressed and anxious. Eating just to numb out before eating, doing drugs for years and years and years. And then, you know, when I knew I couldn't do that anymore, just the food took off. And it's really a journey. It's a journey to do this program. It's a never ending journey. And, you know, certainly, even though I've, you know, realized a lot of things since I've been in Vision, listening to Vision for You, which has helped me more than 11 years I was in another food program, I still know there's a lot more to come, because like this morning I woke up and I was afraid. And so there's more work to do. And it's a good thing, because the work has a reward. It has a big reward. Not only that we get to fellowship with each other, but we get to feel better. And even, you know, I mean, to me, that's amazing, because I've felt horrible for so many years, and I'm starting to feel better and feel happy. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa G. We like happy. You're up next, followed by Kara L.
Good morning, Elaine. It's Roz Godan G.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm a recovering relapser, chronic relapser, compulsive overeater. My name is Roz, and I have been abstinence since July the 10th of this year. And, you know, I wish I could say that I have had long-term abstinence in OA. I've had long-term membership, but something different happened to me in July. I got really sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I got very honest with somebody, and I told them how many Clif bars I ate at the hospital when my daughter was having surgery. And when it comes to this paragraph, I've done lots of four steps, and I'm on it again. I don't have as many resentments as I had, but now, as I have become honest and I have been truly abstinent, truly honest with my food, and waking up 4 or 5 morning, every morning, praying, meditating, doing what my sponsor asks me to do all throughout the day. When I wrote down my latest list of resentments, I could see me in all of them right away. Whenever I wrote somebody's name down and then what they did, it's all because they are not sticking to my script. They're not doing what I believe people should do. I believe people should be polite. I believe students should always adhere or obey what I tell them. I believe fathers should always hold their daughters in highest regard. I believe sisters should always consider other sisters' feelings. But you know what? That's deceptive thinking. That's not reality. We all have our own personalities, and we all do what we're supposed to do or not supposed to do. It's really none of my business. And I believe that this spiritual malady is overcome, or it's on the way. And so my thinking is so different. Yes, I get disturbed, but very quickly after I realize, wait a minute, that person isn't doing what I want them to do. And a lot of times I have a step buddy that I send my 10 steps to. It's so helpful. My thinking is clear, and my body is at a nice normal size. I feel so good about life and myself. And I realize that the Big Book also says that when this happens, not if, so I need to accept that it's going to happen as well. I'll never be without anger. I love what Harlan says. I'll never rise above being a human being. And with that, I pass. Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Kira L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Brian K. Please go ahead.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kira L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And what a paragraph, right? Resentment is the number one defender. And for me, resentment means I'm in self. You know, I'm in self. I'm upset because things aren't going in my selfish thinking how I think they need to go. I'm upset. I. And never in there am I resentful when I've asked my higher power's direction. I said, hey, God, I don't know what to do here. Can you give me inspiration, intuitive thought, or a decision? And then it just comes. And I had a great example of that this week, you know. And I asked and I let go and my day was beautiful and things just happened and it wasn't my doing. I love here that we begin to get, you know, we get this promise. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Wow, that's a huge gift, right? When my spiritual malady is overcome, the mental and the physical things I've been struggling with, they're straightened out. And I didn't have, I mean, this I'm going on a year of reworking my steps and recommitting my abstinence and on November 1st. And I didn't do it this time. You know, there was no diet. There was no special exercise plan. It just happened for me. I worked on my spiritual malady. And my physical and my mental just came into being. They were cleared up. And then it gives us some instructions here. You know, we list the people, the institutions, or the principles whom we were angry. And then we asked ourselves why we were angry.
And most time, you know, in most cases, we found that it was something with self, right? Self-esteem, pocketbooks, ambitions, personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened. You know, we were angry. We were sore or burned up. And so I get these instructions now. It says, you know, here, I promise you, if you work on your spiritual malady, guess what? The physical and the mental are going to clear up. And this is how you do it. And we're going to dive into just, this is how we do it. These are just instructions, right? And when I did these instructions to the best of my ability with another caring, loving member, and things happened. And I'm so grateful today. I'm so grateful today for everything that's happened, you know, in my life over the last year. You know, I've been in OA for 16 years, and it's just been the last year that I've really felt recovered. And I have such gratitude for that today. And I know today it's not me. It's all God, my higher power doing everything. And when I turn to my higher power in everything, what should I have for breakfast? What should I wear? When I practice that connection, miracles, small and big, happen in my life every day. So I'm so glad that everybody's on the line, and I'm looking forward to hearing your voices today. Thank you so much. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Brian K., you're up next, and you'll be followed by John K.
Okay, now could it be Bruce E.?
Oh, it very well could. Oh, Bruce, I am
okay.
So sorry. Thank you.
I didn't
for
know where that Brian K. came from, but maybe he's on the line somewhere. Okay, well, this is Bruce E.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks for letting me share. I'm glad to get to share here outside walking around in Western North Carolina, and a little rainy out here, but boy, it's nice. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. So, yeah, I've been going through back and forth on this resentment thing the last few days, trying to figure it out somehow. But I know I'll never really figure it out. God's got to remove it. But what came first, the fear or the resentment? I've been going through that. I remember fear, a lot of fear at age 5, 6, 7, 8, and a lot of resentment all through those years too, right on up to present. And so I know resentment's a big deal. And I came to the conclusion in the last few days here also that I've been resentful about an item in my life that's going back 4 years. You know, all this time I've been resentful. And so this I've got to ask God to remove it, root and branch. But it says here, from it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we not only mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. So it sounds like if I get on top of this spiritual thing, or I don't know if I can even get on top of this spiritual thing, but if I can surrender to the spiritual thing, surrender my higher power, the spiritual gets taken care of, and then the physical and the mental begin to get corrected. So it's a spiritual disease that goes deep, and only a higher power can go deep down in there and pull that out of there, rip that out of there. We set them on paper. We listed people, institutions, principles with whom we've been angry. We asked ourselves why we were angry. In most cases, we found that self-esteem, pocketbooks, ambitions, personal relations, including sex, were hurt or threatened. Yeah, so it's always, you know, one of those guys in there that's threatened, maybe all of them. Pocketbook, the money part, self-esteem, the pride end of it, ambitions, you know, I want to do well, and then I can't do well because people get in my way and different things get in my way. Personal always affects personal relationships most of the time. So we were sore. We were burned up. Man, I've been burned up a lot, you know. It's time to get unburned. It's time to put the fire out and let the higher power come in and pull these resentments out of me. And that means a lot of surrender. So that's it for me. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bruce E., and thanks for your grace with the name error. John K., you're up next, and then we have a special announcement. Please go ahead, John.
Thanks. This is John K., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, and you got the first and last name right. When the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. Absolutely. And as it says, we were spiritually sick, you know? And, you know, it helps me to realize that there's an awful lot of people out there in the world who are spiritually sick as well, you know? And that helps resentments melt away when people do things that would otherwise and previously generate resentments in me, you know? And now when people don't do things nice, I know they're spiritually sick. And I think to be able to see that someone is spiritually sick when they do something to you, you have to be spiritually well first. And I know that I go through life trying my best not to hurt anybody. And when I do, because I'm human, I try to make amends right away. But people will often do things to me for no reason that would previously cause me resentment. And I say previously because I have a lot more ability now to see the sick person in them. And I think, you know, I look around and I go, you know, we're all just little kids. We're all just a bunch of little kids running around in adult suits. And no one ever gave us the manual of life. You know, we're figuring this out, muddling through. And the other thing is, I think when you can get at peace with yourself, you know, it's a lot harder to hurt you or hurt me, because I know whatever they're resentful for the most part, are not a result of my actions. You know, so logic says that resentment's their problem. You know, I mean, if somebody tells me I have ugly green hair, it's easy to laugh off because I know I don't have green hair. But if somebody says something to me that causes resentment, it's a good chance that on some level I agree with that hurtful thing they're saying, you know. And so how do you get to that place? For me, it was a result of this program. And I think the program and this stuff's main job is ego reduction. You know, if I'm not walking around with a wounded ego, I don't need you to act a certain way. And I don't care what you think of me, because I know I'm okay. And that, to me, also, you keep scraping down, it involves losing that deep down fear. And for me, the deep down fear that's the biggest for me is fear of not being enough, not being as good as you. And because I didn't, I had a lot of character defects that came up as a way to counter, you know, that fear, or to cover it up, you know, like animals in nature that puff themselves up to look bigger so that they could scare off predators. I think that all of those character defects I had were an attempt to make a person who deep down didn't feel good about themselves try to somehow make themselves feel a little better, you know. And I don't have to do that anymore. I know I'm right where my higher power wants me today. I love that line on page 417. It says, you know, when I complain about me or you, I'm complaining about God's handiwork. I'm saying I know better than God. And when it took me a long time to realize that sentence is when I'm complaining about me or you. In other words, I'm right where God wants me. I may not want to be there. I may want to be further down, but maybe there's a reason I'm here. And finally, I just want to tell you, there was a great line I heard when I first came into the program. Oh, God, back in the Harding administration. This gentleman used to say about resentment, anger, and arguments. He says, there's one of two situations in when you're resentful and have it feel that way. You're either right or you're wrong. And if you're right, you have no need to be angry. And if you're wrong, no need to be angry. If you're wrong, you have no right to be angry. And, man, that always stuck with me. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, John Kay. And now we have a special announcement from Reggie O.
Hi, good morning, Elaine, live. And thanks so much for your service, everybody, here this morning. This is Reggie O, very gratefully recovered and so happy to be making this announcement. The Vision for You convention that is happening this coming November, the 15th through the 17th in Newark, New Jersey, the registration has been extended until tomorrow, October 31st. So that is actually fabulous news. And I was looking at this October 31st this morning and thinking, well, what an amazing sort of marker to for the end of the signups for the registration, Halloween, where we usually put on mask, and here in Vision we learn how to take mask off through working the 12 steps and become, you know, those people that we were intended to be. So the convention is at the Marriott Hotel and Convention Center in Newark, New Jersey. And as I said, it's extended until tomorrow night, October 31st. I've never been to one of these before, and it's wild that I'm going. I just made my just booked my flight and made my reservation last night. And I had really like prayed about this, you know, should I go, shouldn't I go? I had so many things that I would need to take care of to get there. And so I kept saying, God, give me a sign, God, give me a sign, you know. And in the day before they were supposed to close last week, I prayed and didn't hear anything and went to sleep and said, okay, I'll just accept that. And the following morning I heard that the registrations had been extended through tomorrow. And I just went through a piece of work for about a week. And finally, you know, talking to a couple of visionaries, being online with airline reservations and finding a place for my dog and everything just fell into place. And when I made the decision and booked, and then I actually had to do my flight first, and I got my flight settled, and a flight opened up perfectly that I could not find for a week to get so I could stay through the event on Sunday. And, you know, I wake up and I listen to this meeting and think, wow, you know, it's like transformative every morning for an hour, and what it must be like and will be like. And I'll get to experience that this year, to be there live for one and a half days, I guess, is what it will be, Friday night through midday Sunday. What an amazing thing. And I do know people who have been transformed through their attendance at this meeting. And I just remember that, you know, and this is my meeting. I do it most every day. I don't go to live meetings. And there's a certain way that I guess I can find, I can hide out there, right? But I get to see all of you that I hear every day that are going to be there. And I just can't wait. You know, I'm really excited, and don't hesitate to sign up if you're thinking about it. I'll be available if anybody wants to talk about it. I'm signing up here at the last minute, but I do believe it's an amazing opportunity. And one of the turning points for me was, this happens every 2 years. This is the third one. And I heard Melanie C. say earlier in the week, you know, it's like we've got an amazing program ahead, and yeah, we've had them every 2 years, but we don't know if there'll be another one. And I thought, oh my gosh, what if I were to miss this opportunity? I'm not going to miss this opportunity. So, yeah, and you can find everything you need to know on the website, www.avisionforyou.info, and that is the number 4. Through tomorrow, it's in Newark, New Jersey. However, there are plenty of rooms left in the Renaissance Hotel, and it's very close by to the convention hotel. There is limousine service door to door right away, waiting just for us who are going to be there. I'll be staying at the Renaissance. If you haven't signed up yet, or you're looking for a roommate and that's been holding you back from signing up, there's a bulletin board on the website that will let you know of other people who are seeking roommates, or you could put your own name up there. And let me see if there's anything else I need to tell you. I think that's it, except it's just, it's happening. You know, it's happening starting at the end of this week and 2 weeks. So great to be able to share this with you, and I can't wait to see those of you that I'll get to see there. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Reggie O. Okay, so after Penny LC, we're going to take another lineup of maybe 3 or 4 people to comment on the third paragraph on page 64. But first, let's hear Penny LC. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And what I realized as I started to take my inventory for the first time, you know, the food was gone out as a way to soothe my feelings. The food was down, but I still had to deal with me. I still had to deal with those feelings. And so, you know, now I'm facing an inventory, and I'm not looking forward to it. I don't really want to do it, but the pain of doing it, I know, truly is less than the pain of not doing it. Now that I look back on it, I can have that confirmation. You know, it wasn't easy, but boy, oh boy, getting it done was worth it. So I just want to encourage anybody who's got it coming down the line to them and they're not sure, just do it. Because what is a resentment for me? It was re-feeling over and over. You know, it was that bitterness, that sense of being treated unfairly. I was so defensive to the world. And my thinking process kept getting me into trouble. It wasn't serving me at all. And so, you know, this program and these steps tell me I need to change my thinking. I need to be willing to change. But there again, the other part of this is that I know I can't do it by myself. And thank goodness, you know, I've now enlisted the power greater than me to be able to walk me through this and to know it's possible and that I'm not, you know, having to do this on my own. But then here, the beautiful part is that I'm given a promise that when the spiritual malady is overcome, we will straighten out mentally and physically. And I am blessed to have had that experience each time I've done a fourth step, each time I've looked at my resentment, and to realize the freedom that's there for me. Someone's unmuted, but with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Penny LC. Okay, let's take three or four names and hear your shares.
Janice PM.
Oh, I heard Janice PM, and that's
Judy F.
Jody E.
I heard Jeannie E. and Jeannie S. There it is. Okay, and one more.
Jody E.
I got Jody E. I've got Janice PM, Jody S, and Jeannie S.
Alice
one
G.
more. Alice G. Okay, great. Let's see how we do with that. And please go ahead, Janice PM.
Thank you so much, Elaine, and please time me. Yeah, my name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful today, recovered compulsive overeater. I don't have my book with me because I'm in another place, but I can remember and I listened to a lot of the shares that helped me say what brought up my share. First of all, it says resentment is the number one offender. Well, when it's the number one offense, usually you're put in jail. You know, and that reminded me of me. The bondage of self is the resentment. Didn't say alcohol, didn't say compulsive overeating, didn't say sugar. It said resentment is the number one offender. And certainly I was bondage to myself. Now, it really means, and it just came up, it didn't just come up, but resentment is that the past didn't go my way and the present isn't going my way when it comes up. Now I'm going to give you two life examples that's happened within the past few days. First of all, I'm going to put in a plug for sponsoring. When I sponsor, I hear something because God works through that person to me, if I am in fit spiritual condition. The person was talking about her mother-in-law. And, you know, I'm listening and all that. And all of a sudden during the day, my mother-in-law came into my head. Always had a resentment against her. And you know what came up? My expectation. See, this is usually the culprit. I've been married for 55 years, and she never, this just came into my head, the wisdom of God, that she never complimented me on how I looked that day, never complimented me on my dress, on my wedding gown. And I've held that for 55 years. And that's because I expected her to do that. And now today I accept, and because that's how they are. That's how she is, and that's how his sister, your daughter was. But now today, now it can still come up, and I'm spiritually growing every day, and I'm going to have to say this out loud. I cannot go to the convention. Now, thank God I've been to about three of them, but you see, I'm selfish. And every time I hear, I'm saying, I'm criticizing and I'm justifying, I'm rationalizing. Why do they keep saying it so much? Why do they keep repeating the same thing? Why? Because, like a lot of people have decided the last minute, which is wonderful, but you see, I'm still criticizing and I'm, poor me, I can't go because of medical reasons. So but today, you know what? I am grateful because I got, you know, I had to do a procedure yesterday and I got through it. So you see, it's okay. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Janice TM. I'm glad your procedure went well. Jody S., you are up next, followed by Janie S. Jody S., star one to unmute.
Did you mean Jody E., perhaps?
Yes, that's it. Thank you very much, Jody. And you'll be followed by Janie S. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. Well, resentments indeed. I grew up alongside my dear mother, who seemed to be chronically resentful towards my father, and my father seemed to be chronically resentful towards my mother. And I sided with my mother, and I hated my father. I was angry at my father. And then when I got married, it seems that that resentment that transferred over to my husband, from my father to my husband, my poor, unsuspecting husband. And then after that went through its process, 34 years later, and we separated, I lived with a dear, dear friend, and I found myself being resentful towards her every day, a friend that I loved dearly. So isn't it interesting? Who's the common denominator? Jody. I can see that today more clearly than ever. And so who's responsible for that resentment? I am. And as was said earlier, I think what is going on is that there's a deep insecurity within Jody that gets intimidated by other people that she's close to. Good people, strong, intelligent, wise, spiritual people. And she gets intimidated and she finds a reason to judge them so that she can feel just a little bit better about herself. So what does Jody need? Jody needs to, one more time, admit her insecurity and abandon herself to her higher power, who can reassure her that she is a child of God, that she is enough, but that she needs to work on herself. And that's what this spiritual solution is all about. And for today, I can be abstinent as long as I stay in fit spiritual condition. And because I still have this tendency to feel insecure, I have to stay in steps 10, 11, and 12. And that's what I'm going to do one more day. And I thank you all for being here to be my support system. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody E. Jeannie S., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Alice G. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, thank you. My name is Jeannie S. I'm a compulsive eater in New York. I love this part of the big book, but I have to say that sometimes it's confused me, and I recently had a new experience with this work in the fourth step and the idea of resentments that I would like to share because it was very meaningful to me. I was reading something and I came across this concept I'm going to paraphrase it and add a little, but basically the idea that when I'm spiritually fit, I'm in a state of being bigger. And when I'm not, I'm in a state of being smaller. And those two words were so good for me. I, for some reason, get very attached to words. Like one word can make it or break it for me. Those two words were really very helpful to me. And I had an experience where I was thinking about a friend of mine who I have had a resentment towards. And as soon as I began to think about her, I could feel myself as a smaller person. I could feel the sunlight of the spirit being limited. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is really incredible, you know? And it gave me a benchmark to kind of see in my behavior and in looking at things, where am I feeling, you know, expanded and bigger? And where am I feeling contracted and smaller? And, you know, it says, you know, many times in different ways in the literature that, in the big book, that we're looking for a spiritual experience that we can maintain and grow with, and that we need to find how self interferes with that maintenance and that growth. It says maintain and growth. I would think it would say growth and maintenance, but it doesn't. And I just was very excited, you know, because I sometimes really struggle. You know, they say this is a simple program for complicated people. I'm absolutely complicated people. And sometimes it just becomes so complicated to me. And by the way, this person really, I had a justifiable resentment. She did something to me. I didn't do anything to her. And I care about her and I love her, but she really acted poorly. But it was like it didn't matter whether she was right or wrong. What mattered is when I became connected and aware of how I felt when I was in that resentment was not where I want to be if I'm trying to maintain and grow a spiritual experience. So thank you, Pat.
Thank you very much. And Alice G., you'll be our last 3-minute share for today. Please go ahead, Alice.
Good morning, everyone. This is Alice G., recovered in Wisconsin. Grateful to be here today, and thank you all for your service to this meeting and helping me with my recovery one day at a time. Yeah, when I wrote that 4-step and looked at those resentments, I remember, it's so funny, when I did my 5th step this last time, my sponsor had me cover up the cause, and we didn't even talk about that. So I didn't get to spin my side of the story at all. And it's really important for me to remember that today when I do 10 steps, that what's going on in my head or how I'm seeing things, like being victimized, doesn't matter. I have to get down to those causes and conditions and look at where am I being selfish, dishonest, fearful? Fear seems to head up a lot of my 10 steps. And I want to be well today. I want spiritual fitness today. I want to be closer to God. And when I have those resentments, I can't be helpful to others. I can't be helpful to God, my source of life. I need to keep this cleaned up because I want to be helpful to God and to others and stay close. So I'm really grateful for being able to have this opportunity to continue to take that personal inventory one day at a time. And when things crop up, I'm doing a 10-step every day because I need to be spiritually fit, and I want to stay clean and sane today and not be back in the food. So that's all I've got. Thank you for listening. Grateful to be here. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Alice G., and thank you to everybody who has come, listened, shared, read on this meeting today. It's so, so helpful. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer.
Will Alice G. please read A Vision for You?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.